Father, we bless you for giving us, spreading a physical table before us. And now we thank you for bringing us again to your dining table. We pray you will give us, bless us with an appetite. Bless us with a hunger for you, that we might hear your voice, even the voice of the Son of Man. For he said that when we begin to hear the voice of the Son of Man, that you will raise us up from the grave. You will raise us up and cause us to stand on the earth. Lord, we ask that your doctrine will come like the rain. Lord, let your voice be still. Let it be like showers upon every grass in the field. Let it be like the dew, even that dew of Hermon. Lord, let it bring freshness, a new vision. Lord, let it bring life to the seed of hope that you're giving to us. Let it be like the hammer to break down every barrier of earth. You say, your word will be that, like that which goes forth and will not come back void. Lord, may your word bring us. May you bring us and present us unto yourself, a glorious church without any spot or wrinkle. Let the veil over our understanding, over our mind, Lord, let the chains over our emotions be broken. Let the hardness of our will be softened. Heal. As this word comes, let it be like the oil and the wine to heal. He said that the leaves of that tree were for the healing of the nations. So open the eyes of our understanding. Lord, that in understanding we might fear you, we might honor you, and we might depart from iniquity. We just bless your name. For you say unto the man, you said, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from iniquity, that is knowledge. Lord, we come that you might give us this principal thing. Endure our relationship with knowledge and with wisdom, that we might fear you and we might know you, the only true God, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm really running. We don't have more time. We are winding up, and Brabot is still going to come. So I'm just timing myself. I have to request that we cut short the song. You know, we sang a lot in the morning, so we're back with a good singing dose. Amen. So I would like to go into the word. Amen. Now the reason is because of the young people. You know, I'm excited of this in this church, in this fellowship, because there are so many young people, and my heart goes out to the young people. I was saying to one of them, I wish I was your age. You know, I had grown too old when we started hearing this trumpet. I wish I was younger, much younger. By now, you wouldn't have seen my back. I'd have been somewhere else. Amen. So I want us to go into the word. So I'd like you to write, and then if you have questions, to ask. Because there are so many scriptures I'd like to go over, I'm not going to be reading. I'll just say the scriptures. And like Ratukubo said, I assume you will write and go and check. Because immediately I say it, I am free. You have the problem. You know, so there are two things. If it is God, you have a problem. If it is not God, then I have a problem. That is the rule. We agree with that. That's our housekeeping rule. You know, so when it is said, you have to go and check. If it's God, you sort out with God. If it's not God, throw it out. Just throw it out. But if it is God, then you have a problem. I don't have any more problem. Because I have done what I should do. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. So, if God says something, say, look, say this to my people, which includes me, then I have to say, because in saying it, I will be blessed. You know, so I also need this ministry. Because the things I'm saying to you, I'll probably be hearing for the first time. You better believe it. You know, so I also need to listen to it. Now, I'll start from Revelation 20. Brother Kumba touched on it at some point, either yesterday or so. It's a measuring. You see, he thought of measurement. And, you know, it is good to know the measurement that God has for you. You see, we can be deluding ourselves. Let me tell you the truth. Not everybody will make it. Now, you say this brother has come again. But that is the truth. Because there is 5 foolish and 5 wise. Not everybody will make it. But we all can make it if we meet up to the standard. But don't let anybody tell you that we all are going, forget it. How can a man who is in heaven say he's going to heaven? You know, some say, I want to make heaven. Okay, heaven is in you. So you cannot have heaven in you, you are going to heaven. The rather heaven is coming down. The third heaven is coming down. Okay, well, those are spiritual languages. The first heaven is the one you see, all these ones where Neil Armstrong and all those who are going to. That's the first heaven. There's a second heaven which is within you. I say there was war in heaven. You understand? Now there is a third heaven which God dwells. He said the heaven and the heaven of heavens belong to God. The devil hasn't got, he was cast out from there. Do you understand? Now that heaven is coming down. Say, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Heaven is coming down to us. Now that is one. Now, if you go out, you will see, if you live near the airport, you see the planes coming, isn't that so? You see Air France or whatever, they're coming. Now, when the planes want to land, I like to watch them. It's a gradual descent. But surely it's going to land. I'm telling you something. God is coming. And it will surely land. However, are you going to be among those people in whom the fullness of God will come? Now, there are 2 things that will happen or that are happening. And like Tokubo said, whether you like it or not, it is happening already. And those things are this. As God is coming down, in other words, the fullness of God is coming within the soul of man. So also is the darkness coming within the soul of man. So those are 2 events that are happening now. It doesn't matter whether you have PhD, you have whatever, all those things are really not in focus. What is in focus is light and darkness. And there is a place, there's one common ground in which light and darkness will manifest, and it is in the soul of man. Man is the common denominator. Man is the only creature on earth that is a bridge between the heavens and the earth. Angels don't even have that nature. Bravo told us. Man is the only creature of God, or the only platform through which spirits have access to the earth and things on earth have access into the heavens. And that is why you are important to the devil. Because the devil wants an access to God. He wants an access to the tree of life. Now, all those are, may say it's big grammar, but I'm going to say the big grammar. Because you already are walking in the spirit. Everybody who has this phone is walking in the spirit. If you have this, you are walking in the spirit. And I want to tell you about spiritual things. Because you are a spirit, and God is a spirit. And they that worship him must do what? We must appreciate spiritual things. Because that is who you are. You know, so we're looking at Revelation 20. Can we have Revelation 20 verse 4 gives us the measurement that my brother was talking about this morning. And that measurement is about something called the beast. That's the measurement. Something called the beast. You know, Brabot was telling us yesterday about darkness. I also talked about it on Friday night. You know, sometimes, well, those could be high, you know, it may look a little bit high sounding. And I'm praying that by God's grace we'll be able to break it down. I want to bring it down to, you know, basics. So that you and I can understand it. Because God has a standard. Now, the standard is this. Whoever worships the beast or his image or his mark is out. So it doesn't matter if I preach this message. Well, that is not, it doesn't qualify me. The only thing that qualifies me is what? Do you worship the beast? Or did you not? You can go to all the crusades you want, give all the offerings you want, sing all the songs you want. There is only one measurement. Did you worship the beast or not? And it says that only those who do not are those who meet the mark. Well, why he's trying to put this? Let's take it back in perspective. We'll go back again. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, something happened. The Bible said that God took the earth. Is it not so? Now, the earth speaks of one dimension of energy. I know you don't like to hear about this, but it's in the Bible. Energon. The Greek says energon. Alright? Or energies, whatever word, but there are different words used. But the earth is a different level of energy or life or form or whatever you want to. He took the earth. And the Bible says that he breathed into this earth. In other words, the earth and the heaven. And he said that when this realm of life from heaven came into man, what happened? That man became a living soul. In other words, this soul has two natures. This soul has two natures. It has an earthly nature and it has an heavenly nature. That is who you are, your soul. And now if you're able to catch this point and appreciate this point, then you can wave bye-bye to the devil. Say, devil is over. Say amen now.
Amen.
You can say bye-bye to the devil. Because you see, many of us do not, like Brabant will say, we don't know what we are fighting. We don't know the things that, things happen to you, you understand? Why is this happening? Why is that not happening? It's because you don't know yourself. You don't know who you are. You don't know what you are fighting. How can a man be beating around the bush and you say you are fighting your enemy? Paul said, I fight as one that knows the enemy. I run to win. And the basic is that God created man with two natures. The man can be a dweller on the earth. That man, like my brother was saying, can be a dweller on the mountain. Now, Lot was a dweller on the plains. You understand? He chose and he was accustomed to dwelling on the earth. Okay? So let's read it. Let's read it. Revelation 20, verse 4. It says, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark in their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and they reigned 1,000 years. Verse 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now read on. Say, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death had no power. But they shall be what? Priests of God and of Christ. And they shall reign with him. You know, see, when you read, of course, in school, when you read, you summarize. And there are some practical things. One of the practical things is priesthood. The people that overcome are priests. And this is one of the problems from the end time church. I don't discuss people who are asking. I'm talking about you and me. My problem is that I do not see myself as a priest. And I'm telling you, for as long as you do not see yourself as a priest, you do not walk like a priest, you do not function like a priest, you are out. You can't make it. And no priest wears any kind of cloth. I encourage you, read Numbers, read Leviticus. Those are the books of priesthood. And then before you can come to Revelation, then you can cross over to Ezekiel. If it was measured, the priest shall do so and so. And I asked you, if the Old Testament is said the ministry of condemnation, then can you imagine the measurement, the order that you and I should have if we say we have a higher calling in the Old Testament or in the New Testament? Anyway, going back to this, he was very specific. He said that this resurrection, he says, the resurrection that is called the first resurrection, and the resurrection of those who overcame the beast. The question is, what is this beast? What does it mean to worship the beast? What is all this grammar? Now, to give you a little bit information, now if you go to Revelation 17, can you open 17? It says that he showed him a picture. He saw a beast. What was that? That beast was in the wilderness. And this beast in the wilderness was carrying a woman. And this woman had, you know, seven heads, all this, and he said, mystery, Babylon. Now, simple understanding, just breaking it down, means that this beast is in association with what? The woman, this spirit. And both of them are spirits. Okay, I'll go to verse 3. It says, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman. When you see a woman, now, quickly, a woman has three dimensions. Woman means physical woman. That's one. That's natural. Because the word of God is in three dimensions. The natural, then the spiritual dimension, then the fullness of the spirit. Now, the fullness of the spirit is your soul. The spiritual dimension talks about the church. So the woman speaks of the bride of Christ. But the fullness of that bride of Christ, how it applies to you is that it's talking about your soul, because your soul, it has to be married by Christ. Do you understand? So when he says he saw a woman in the wilderness, he's giving you a spiritual picture. He's painting something to us. He said, I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast full of. So in other words, this beast gives is in association with this woman, with this spirit that walks in the church and that walks within the soul of man. In other words, you have a harlot woman, then you have also a faithful woman, is it not so? If you have a harlot church, you have a faithful church. So there are always two groups. Now, let's go again to Genesis. Now, well, in Genesis, we are looking about this soul. God created a man, Adam, and he created him. He had a body, but he had a soul, and he had a spirit. Now, man and you have three dimensions. Now, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes that when a man dies, his body does what? Goes down to the grave. His spirit, what happens to it? Goes to God. Now, before I forget, God gave you his spirit so you can hear his voice. No man can hear the voice of God without the spirit of God. But there are some of us, we have the spirit of God, but we have refused to hear God's voice. After some time, when the body is broken down, the spirit goes back to God. Say, the man did not use me. I was of no use to him. So it returns back to God. Now, the soul, who was given the spirit from God to benefit, goes back to God for what? Judgment. Because the Bible says, it's appointed unto men once to die, after that, judgment. So the real man is the soul. And of course we know from scripture that the soul has four natures. Because the soul has four natures, and in the tabernacle, that is the issue. The tabernacle is the soul that comes into focus. This is the tabernacle. But I'm more concerned about the soul. Now, when you say you are born again, what are you talking of? What you are saying is that your soul has come to the place of judgment. Now, the soul of man, as I was saying, is in a free fall. From hell to the lake of fire. The soul of every individual that comes into the world is on a journey. He's going to the lake of fire. Like my brother was saying, if you do not do anything about your soul, you can't play football, you get PhD, you're the King of England, you're everything, you do everything, fine. You have only one destination. Where is that? The lake, not just hell, the lake of fire. No, there's no return. Now, the Catholic people tell us that there is purgatory, you go, they pray for you, they do 7 days. That's their own grammar. Even you know that when you get to the lake of fire, Bible does not give us a redemption, a path that anybody who gets there comes out. And Bible calls it the doctrine of eternal judgment. So every man born into the world is born in hell. Now you may not agree with that, but that is the truth. Every individual, every soul that comes into the world, it comes into the realm of darkness. And the darkness begins to progress in him and grow and multiply like a tree. And the path of salvation is to bring the soul when you come into the kingdom of God. That soul must come to a place of judgment. That's what you call being born again. And there are many of us who think that because I am born again, that I have arrived. Not, in fact, it's just like you have come to a reception. We're not even discussing anything yet. This soul doesn't know God. The Bible said that the God of this world has blinded the mind, the eyes. So the man doesn't know God. He has never known God. He comes, he says, except you are born again, you cannot what? See the kingdom of God. He hasn't entered yet. The kingdom of God is not the outer court. The kingdom of God, this is the kingdom of God. Brother Gumbo read Revelation 11, says the temple, which is the star, don't measure it, because it's going to be overcome by worldliness. What you call Gentile is a very good word for us. You know, when you say Gentile, you see, what God told me, that it means worldliness. Look around you. That is what has happened to the so-called end time movement. The end time movement has been overtaken by worldliness. Us. But I'm not going to digress to that. And we say we have entered the holy place. We didn't enter the holy place, though. We did not enter the holy place. The reason that we saw, we heard the trumpet calling us to come. And we never, because see, to enter the holy place, you must come to the place of baptisms. Deliver is baptism. Baptism in water. Very good, very easy. Even that one, we have it. Many of us here may not have been baptized in water. You may have been baptized onto a denomination, made wet, and not really properly baptized. Because it's a debt, it's a covenant. When you enter the water, something happens to you. You feel it, you know that something has happened. It's an initiation that you are going to stand against darkness and overcome darkness. That is your commitment, that you are going to fight darkness. Anywhere you find it, you will fight it in you and in others. Now, that's what baptism means. Then there's a baptism in the Holy Ghost when the Spirit of God comes into your own spirit. But if the Spirit of God comes into your spirit, the main issue has not been addressed. The main issue has not been addressed. So this is the soul. So let me just use this. This is the soul, this is the spirit, and this is the body. At the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes into your spirit. The soul has not been addressed. And at the point of baptism, which we had, you see, we begin to see the kingdom of God. Bible says you have to enter. To enter, we must go through another baptism. That is the baptism of Christ, or we call the baptism of fire. There are three levels. And at that point, there has to be a separation between a walk in the spirit and a walk in the flesh. And that is the point where many of us turn back, or we have gone back to the world. Now, there's a very important point. Now, the Bible says on the Day of Atonement, we are discussing it, that on that day, something unique happens. On the Day of Atonement, the Bible says the high priest goes into the holiest of all. He goes into this place. But something else happens. He says that everybody in the outer court goes out. Everybody in the holy place also goes out. So, in the whole tabernacle, there is only one man that is there. I don't know if you understand the import of that. Now, ordinarily, it was only the sons of Aaron who could enter into the holy place, because those were the priests. The Levites could not even enter into the holy place. They could only be in the outer court. So if you were a Levite, you functioned in the outer court. If you are a son of Aaron, that is among the Levites, a few of them were now priests. It was only those ones that entered into the holy place. But on the Day of Atonement, when the high priest now goes in finally, both the priest and the Levite and the congregation all go out of the tabernacle completely. They're all outside. And now, if God is telling us, I told you, I heard this last year, God said, you have come to tabernacle, to atonement. Now, so I sat down, and said, okay, so what that means is that, like my brother was saying, there are two movements in the church. There are two movements. Some are on their way outside even the outer court, that they are going back into the world, while some are in the high priest, going in through the veil. So it's not a matter of church, like he was saying. So we have gone beyond church. It's not an individual. Where are you? Are you in the high priest, or you are out? If you are out, if the high priest is going in, you must go out. Now, the movement out is not a voluntary thing. It is an involuntary activity. In other words, it is the spirit in the man driving him out. Now, to properly explain that. Now, I was telling about Adam having a nature, his soul, which was a combination of an earthly nature and a spiritual nature. Now, what is heaven? What does it define heaven? What does heaven mean? Well, I can assist. Heaven means the dwelling place of spirit. Would you accept that definition? Heaven is the place where spirits dwell. So use your teeth and count the tongue you have. If you have heaven in you, which kind of spirits are dwelling in you? Okay, before somebody says, I want scripture, I'll give you one. Jesus said that when an evil spirit is cast out of a man, what does he do? He walks around. And then when he doesn't find enough food, he goes back to his original restaurant. Where is the original eating place? He goes to his original eating place. Who is that person? I say, when he goes, he's going to bring seven other more wicked spirits than him, and they come in. Now, when there are more wicked spirits, are they going to drive you to go to the Holy of Holies? They're driving you to Arsenal, Manchester United. They're driving you to nightclubs. They're going to drive you to the internet. You see, you feel more at home watching the internet than praying. It's an involuntary activity. The spirits are driving you. He said, the things I want to do, what happens? I cannot, you cannot do the things you want to do. He said, the things you do not want to do, what happens? Are the ones you do. But the things you actually want to do, you want to serve God, I will serve you. You only sing, you sing the song, it's empty. Even you yourself singing the song, Lord, Lord, I give you my life, you know that, Lord, you have not given the Lord your life anywhere. So, you see, we are in church. We are enjoying the song. Worship is not melody. Worship is what? It's the heart. God is listening to the tenor of your heart. So, we are discussing the nature of the soul. We are discussing the nature of the soul. Now, if man is a dwelling place of spirits, because God made you so that he can dwell in you. God made you a realm of heaven so that he can dwell in you. You understand? But you see, when man is born, he's not born with God dwelling in him. Man is born with what? Spirit. Darkness. Dwelling in him. And it is our job to what? Drive those spirits out. God is not going to drive the spirits out. It says the bride has made herself ready. If you are a bride, you must make yourself ready. And scripture says you must make your calling and election sure. God's responsibility is to bring you and, you know, bring you to fellowship, bring you to this kind of situation. Make sure that you get the right atmosphere, you hear the word of God. It now becomes your responsibility to apply it. And then to drive those spirits out. Now, when spirits are in a man, three things happen. Three. Well, I have summarized it as three. The first thing is that those spirits inhabit and they dwell in that individual. That's one. The second thing is that those spirits feed on you. You give them life. You supply life to them. Then number three, you worship them. Because in the spirit, when you worship, you're actually giving life. They go together. Worship means you are give life. And when you say you're watching somebody, what it means you are giving life to him. And Brabot was telling us, the devil himself is not powerful. We are the ones that make him powerful because we submit to him. You come to a country like England, a country that thrives on sorcery. You understand? The spirits here, they live on sorcery. That's why all the films, everything is Dark Knight, Dracula, Rise of the Black Man, the Superman. They drink sorcery. Sorcery is the way of life. The English people, sorry, Brother Jeff, don't be annoyed. The English people are headhunters. They are traditionally headhunters. But they got civilized and now put horses. So enter there, you see the head of a horse. That horse actually, they're telling you, my grandfather used to put heads, human heads on the wall. So this is a land that it thrives on sorcery. So if you are going to overcome, you must understand the spirit you are fighting. Praise God. So let's go back again. We are talking about the temple. That the brazen altar, the first experience of a Christian is that the soul comes into the place of judgment. Now, it's not just judgment. It's not just singing. Why am I in this room? What is all this thing about? The whole thing is about, the brother was telling us, there's a promise. What promise has God given to me? The promise I have is that I'm going to be the Son of God. Yeah. You must keep it in focus. We are not here to dance around, and there is something is at stake. What is at stake? I have an inheritance. There is a promise given to me. And what is that promise? To be a son of God. If you see the price that God has called me to be a son, there are no daughters in this business. They are all sons. Hallelujah. God has called you to be a son. And there is a price to pay. Now, how do you become a son? There is a key. You see, you cannot be the Son of God without the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God that makes you a son. I just pray you can catch, you get, you say, I'm trying to make it very simple. Without the Spirit of God, you can never be a son. It is the Spirit of God that He has given to us. What does that Spirit do to us? He says that when He comes, what He does, what He speaks, He causes us to say, Abba, Father. It is a spirit of sonship. It's a spirit of what? Adoption. Now, God's way of having children is by adoption. We have children by, we call it by, biological way of having children is a very, very low dimension of having children. God's own way of having children is by adoption. He gives you His Spirit. Hallelujah. I want to define it for you. For as many as are what? As are led by the Spirit of God. Who are they? They are the sons of God. It's very easy. Do you want to be a son? Receive the Spirit of adoption. Hallelujah. I know this Spirit is without measure. Do you know I can't even command the Spirit of God? Do you know that I can stand here and do everything? The Spirit of God will refuse to do anything because the Spirit of God determines what He does. Hallelujah. I mean, you cannot discriminate. I cannot say, well, you cannot follow Brother Tokumbo. You can only follow this. The Spirit of God will do the will of God. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of God is given to every man. Every man has equal access. It doesn't matter who you are. Even the woman, they say she was a harlot. Fine, no problem. But God had to go out of His way to deliver her from Jericho. Hallelujah. Now, it doesn't matter where you are coming from. It doesn't matter your experience. It doesn't matter what you have gone through. You have an opportunity to become a son of God. Hallelujah. Now, we are talking about sonship. So what? How does it boil down? How does it get down? Well, the Spirit of God must come into the soul. You must make that journey into the soul. The Spirit of God must make the journey into the soul. The Spirit of God is coming from the Son, is coming from the Father, into the Holy Ghost, then into my spirit. I say I've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, my soul has four different natures, and that's where the war starts. Hallelujah. Brethren, we must fight. We have work to do. Do you know there are four realms within your soul? Well, the Bible calls it four living creatures. Don't behave as though you will just, that you are here for a joke. Bible said that no man that worried entangled himself with the affairs. Because see, the things in you, there is darkness. In each one of these four creatures, darkness is in them. When Adam received that seed of the knowledge of good and evil, darkness entered into the four realms of the soul of man, both the mind, the emotion, desire, and will. Darkness went in and became resident and has been multiplying. Do you understand? They say the average lifespan of a Nigerian is 54 years. Can you imagine? From 900, somebody was 900 years, brother, is it not so? Do you understand what we're talking about? Somebody was 900 years. Now they say the average lifestyle of a British man is 90 years. Say, yes, I'm a big man. 90 years. In comparison to 900 years, you say you know more than God. Don't you understand? Do you understand what we're talking about? That you see the level to which man has fallen. And then you come out and say you're a big man because you can live for 90 years. When your great, 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 great grandfathers were 900 years before the Lord on the earth. What has happened? Darkness has gone in and has eaten up man. Do you understand? Darkness is eating up the mind of man, the emotions, desire. It's like a cancer, it's growing. So church is not coming here and saying, I will love you, I will, brother. We have to go inside. We must go inside and visit the living creatures. There are four human beings within you. Do you understand? That's another way, if that can help you. There are four, they all want food. How many people have been pregnant here? You know, I'm a doctor now. Uh-huh. And that's my job. Look, when the baby is in the womb, if you like, eat carrot or drink, the baby must have this food. Is it not so? If you, whether you eat or you don't eat, the baby must feed. And I'm telling you, these creatures within you, they must eat also. Hallelujah. And brethren, that is where we lose and win the war. And that's why many of us are the way we are, because we do not understand what is happening within you. You don't know. He told the woman, two nations are in your womb. Is it not so? But this one now, you now have four nations in your womb. Hallelujah. How do you feed them? Because they must eat. But there is a, well, the Greeks will say there is a problem at the initial. That means right from the beginning there was a problem. These living souls were cast out of the throne of God, out of the realm of God. You know so? Adam was walking with God. Okay, let me give you our last scripture. It says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, what happens? We have fellowship one with another. And what happens? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses. What kind of food was Adam eating, brother? Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone. I know a bread called angel's food. Do you know that bread? Eh? Okay, you call it manna. Good. He said a man ate angel's bread for how many years? 40 years. There were no hospitals. No IKEA supermarket. No Tesco. But God fed them. Have you been to the wilderness before? I was flying over Algeria. I said, God, for almost 1 hour, not even one grass. Do you know what the wilderness is? It's scorching. No life. And God said, he took those people by foot. The heat wave and everything. Because by day, there was a shade. Don't you understand? And you know that there was no NEPA. No need for NEPA or British gas or whatever you call it. There was a cloud. There was a fire. This is real. Is this story? This is real life, brethren. And you say you have a better experience than Moses. That's what you said. That's what we say. We say we have a better experience than Moses. Brethren, where is our experience? Where is our experience? Well, I tell you something. God is bringing us to that experience. It is in the holiest of all. Man is going back to the garden. Well, put it the right way. God is coming back. He says, Emmanuel is God with us. When you say God with us, it's not on the street of London, inside here first. God is coming here, brethren. Yeah. Now, if God is going to visit you, what manner of men ought you and I to be? I have to get ready. But a boss was coming to my house. I told my wife, I started running over the place. I started patching this, patching that, cleaning this. He doesn't know about all this. We started cleaning this. We went to the back end. We did this. I was greeted. I said, God, the road to my house was bad. I said, oh God, how will Brabot come to my house and the road is not good? This is real life. Who's he was there? How much more when Jesus is coming? And we are just walking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our attitude must change. There is a visitation from God. And this is the throne of God coming down to us. But the thing is that it's not just a matter of whether I like it or not. The thing is that something is happening within my soul. Darkness is also working. The devil wants to establish, he says, no, this house is mine. He says, I will also arise. I will sit over Zion. I will be like the Most High. The devil wants you. The same thing God created for himself. He said, I must have it by force. So now, am I cooperating with God or am I cooperating with the devil? So when we say that we are those who press on to the salvation of the soul, it's not optional. If you don't press on, you are gone. It's very clear. He said, that has delivered my soul from the lowest hell. There is a highest hell. It's just simple English. If there is a lowest hell, then there must be a highest one. Just like you have a lowest heaven, which is the outer court, there's also a highest heaven. That's the holiest of all. Simple English. And every soul is matching. So it says we must press on. It says, leaving what? The weights and the besetting sins, all the things that bother us. You have to sit down and say, my friend, where am I going to? You must count the cost. My soul, where are you going to go to? My soul, I can tell you what you want to do. You want to sit down in front of television 24 hours and watch The Rise of the Giant, part 1. The Coming of the Dark Lord, part 2. Then the next time you watch Superman, part 3. Then when you finish, they tell you wind bleeding is coming. You finish that one. Then as that one, they say, oh, my Lord. You get another film. It says Beyonce is having the show. Another 3 hours. Before long, the 24 hours, and do you know that as you are watching, through your eyes, demons are entering. No, this is not a joke. Spirits gain access into your soul through your eyes. And we young people, we have beholding things we shouldn't see. So there are spirits inside. Make sure you get them out before you leave this meeting.
Amen.
I'm telling you, you must use the energy and the life here to empty your soul of all those things that have contaminated your soul.
Amen.
You have seen things you shouldn't see. You shouldn't see nakedness.
Amen.
And you have seen them. And you think I just walk around and the spirits are there. And the spirits don't want you to come here. When you are coming, say, Brother Togumba didn't call you. If you were, he should have called you to tell you the meeting was taking place. If he loved you, he should have called you to say, no, I will show him that I'm important. So, the spirit has sold a lie to you because Togumba didn't call you, you don't come here. Or when you come, you go and stay at the back, let me see what they're doing. And while you are there discussing, you don't receive anything. The spirit, you go out with the same spirit. And you have not done it. You think you are doing it, it is for your own benefit. So these spirits have entered into man and they are dwelling. And they are what? Multiplying. Now the basics of what is going on is that when one spirit enters, he opens the door for more spirits to come in. Because it's a survival of the fittest. The more foul and unclean spirits you have, the more they want to come. So our job, I'm trying to make it as basic, you have to forgive my language. But I'm trying to see if I can shock you and shock myself into reality. Yes. So, because that is really what's going on. So that we can see really what we are dealing with. And then in so doing, we can deal with it. Now, let's look at Revelation 18. I want to show you something.
Yeah.
Revelation 18. But, look at this. Say now. He said, after this, an angel came down for leave that. So now he cried mighty with a strong voice, saying, Babylon is fallen, and it's what? Become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now, when you read this kind of language, you say, oh, what is he talking about? Let me go and read something that will make sense. You better read it. Because this is discussing your dining table. This is discussing your eating habits. Because I was telling you, those four living creatures must receive life. Now, when man was cast out of the realm of God, remember I said he put flaming swords to guard the way into the garden. The man had to eat. And the soul of man began to feed on darkness. It was no longer receiving life from God. The only life from God was from the Spirit. This man who had access to the realm of the Spirit lost that ability. That is why when you go to Ezekiel chapter 4, it says those four living creatures had four wings. Let me just address that quickly. They have four wings. You can read it when you go home. And I say, God, what are these four wings? And then I go back to Revelation. I notice that this four living creature has six wings. So how come four wings became six wings? It's very easy, very, very simple. You see, you look at an airplane, it has four movements. There is what they call the thrust and what they call the drag. Is it not so? I'm not a physics man. The engineers know better. Then there's what they call the lift and what they call the gradient. Is it not so? Those are the four movements. The wing gives the airplane the lift. As it flies, it lifts. Amen. You need a lift. My soul needs a lift. You need something to make me to rise in the things of God. And that is what the Word and the Spirit do for you. And that is what the holy place does for you. In the holy place, you have the table of shewbread and you have the oil. Those are experiences my soul and your soul must go through. You must come into the holy place and be fed by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is not just to speak in tongues, but it's to nourish the soul. The Spirit of God is like a river. John chapter 7 says, and I saw a river. It says, and out of the belly of them that believe shall flow what? Rivers of living water. It says, this spoke here of the word Spirit. It says, there is a river that makes glad the city. Who is that city of God? Now, if you are not receiving life from the Spirit of God, you become a wilderness. Don't you understand? The wilderness that he took, that he was talking about, was talking about the soul of man. And there are some of us sitting down here who have never heard the voice of God for the past 3 months. I'm not saying you're not a Christian here. You call yourself, but you have never heard the voice of God in the past 3 months. That's a very, very conservative statement. That's, you read your Bible, you pray, you do all the things, but you have never heard that. How many people have heard that voice before? That you have heard the voice of God. There is nothing like it. David says, one day in your presence is better than what? A thousand. And see, many of us are dry. Dry. And that dryness is because there is a disconnect between our soul and this river of God. There is a river. But you see, that river cannot flow when there is no throne. The river flows from the throne. It flows from the throne. How can the river flow from the throne when your head is there? Where is my mouth? In my leg? Look at me very well now. Where is my mouth? In my leg. Eh? Where is my mouth? In your head. Why do you think God wants to cut your head off? So you can stop feeding on rubbish. So I can stop feeding on darkness. When my head is cut off, I will only have one head, and that is Christ. Hallelujah. And it is his responsibility to feed me. Let me show you the scripture. Revelation 7, verse 18. 7:18. No, go to 15. Verse 13, sorry. Let's start from there. Now, and this is for the young people. Because, well, you see, you cannot do without your phone. You cannot do. Let's calm down. The reason is that you want excitement. And all these elders are telling you, don't steal, don't steal. It's a brother, it's not steal or don't steal. We have to tell them, how do you get energy in the soul? Say amen now, my people.
Amen.
Young people want excitement. How do you get excitement? You must learn the secret. Hallelujah. We in the ministry have failed because we are not telling our young people how to get excitement in God, because we ourselves have not found that excitement. That the man said, if the man has been dwelling at the plane, he didn't even have enough to talk about giving his wife. Or talk to you. In fact, he lost his son's in-law. Even the daughters, they brought Moab and Ammon. Eh? The what came out of that situation was what? Was incest. Children of the flesh. And they fought Israel to the ground. Hallelujah. And it is an energy crisis. So we, the older people, must find a source to God that we can teach our children. Marriage is not just, just love you, love you, and have a nice time. Men must be men. The men must be priests. The men must be prophets. And the men must be kings in their house. to give the direction, then the women will follow. Amen. I'm not saying I have arrived though. Me, I'm still struggling. Oh yes, I'm struggling. Amen. So we are looking at this scripture quickly. It says, one of the elders said, answered and said, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? Let me just digress a little bit, 2 minutes. Anybody that tells you that dressing is not important, tell him it's not true. Have you read your Bible? Well, you spent 2 chapters on the dressing of the high priest. 2 chapters. They say, and Jabez said, oh Lord, have mercy. The man is so popular, only 2 verses about Jabez. Eh? Jabez, only 2 verses in the Bible, and they have made him a hero. But this one is a dressing. 2 chapters on the dressing of the high priest. It says it's not important. Your dressing speaks of your character. And there is a homosexual spirit that has entered the church. Now, go and tell God, though. Just use what he told me. See the thing called trousers, it's a homosexual spirit. Now, let me address the one for the men, because sisters say I'm anti-women. If I ask all the brothers in this room to stand up, you see what is happening. There is a new form of trousers called pencil. Pencil. What does the pencil do? It wraps on your dress and shows all the features. It is a homosexual spirit. Now they say, this brother, well, this is what God showed me. And now, it is to justify the one for the women. Because the devil is very, very clever. He's justifying it. And now, there is a new form of dressing. You know what that was? That one stops here. I won't tell you what it is. Now, in order for you to wear it, you must wear tight. So, they give you tight to justify the other one that stops you. I won't tell you the one it is. And I'm telling you, I prophesy to you, in the next few months, you will see it inside the church. Somebody will wear that one that stops there and come into the church. Okay, then I won't tell you what it is. But when you go out, you see, it's summertime, everybody is wearing that. And it is coming to the church. Now there are brothers who have earrings. Earrings. A few months ago, you said, no, how can? How can it not a reality in the church? So anybody that tells you that dressing is not important, it is not true. The Bible says the homosexual spirit can never come into the temple of God. It says, do not bring the price of a dog into the congregation of God. It's not a question of whether you want to be cold or want to be hot. If you want to deal with cold, go to Siberia, go to Alaska. It's minus how many? And the women, they are dressed differently. They don't wear trousers. Trousers don't make you overcome cold. It is fashion. It is fashion. And not just fashion, it is a mentality in the mind. It's a mentality. And if you go to Galatians chapter 5, he gave 16 things that he says are the works of the flesh. 4 of them deal with sexual sins. The first ones mentioned, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lascivia. The common problems in the church are what? Sexuality. We are all doing holy, holy now, but we know the problems. It is sexuality. So the brothers must be held by the sister, and the brother must help the sisters. Nobody saying amen. Well, it's a digression. In fact, just a digression. But I saw white robes, and that's why I began to talk about. It was specific, white robes. You know, so I'm not picking on anyone. I'm just saying that there is a tendency in the church, and we need to look at it. And the Bible says, if my eating meat is going to cause problem, then I need to look at it again. So I wish to encourage the brothers and the sisters to look at it. When you dress, it's to cover your nakedness. The Bible says, let your moderation be known to all. That word moderation means appropriate. If you are going to be a son of God, what should be the appropriate dressing? If you are a priest of God, what is your appropriate dressing? Is it not something that people see and they start praying and bless God? They want to go closer to God, not to plead the blood of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so that's enough for that. That's a digression. So look at it. Now let's go to more serious things now. And he said unto me, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now he said, therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the temple shall dwell among them. Now watch. He said, they shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst anymore, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall do what? Shall feed them. And shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears. How many people have read Psalm 23 before? What does it say? Can we say it together? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still water. He does what? You can stop there. Hallelujah. The work of the Holy Ghost is to restore the soul. Hallelujah. When we say soul, what are we talking about? We're talking about emotion. Being happy. That's emotion, the passions. Okay? So let me go back to the board and then do something there. So I would say these are the passions. Here you have the emotion. Here you have desire. And that's where the problem is. The emotions and the desires. That's where the problem is. Let's see, how does it go? The mind, okay, let me write the mind. I'll put the mind up here. And the will. So there are four natures within you. You see a movie. Emotion says, oh, this movie feels good. If I watch it will feel good. Oh, desire says, oh really, you feel good? Then okay, let's want it, let's receive it, let's go and watch it. And sometimes there's a debate. The word of God says, no, you can't watch this kind of movie. But it says, I like it. The emotion says, I like it. It will feel good. The desire says, oh yes, I want it. Remember, there are spirits inside the desire and the emotion. Because Revelation 7 says there are four angels at the four corners of the earth. The four corners of the earth speaks of your emotions, your desire, your will, and your mind. There are spirits at the four natures, demanding life. So the Bible says that the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. That Galatians 5 for you. So you find that there is a war. So what happens? The will is rebellious. The will has its own will that is different from the will of God. Jesus said, thy will. Say, let thy will be done. But the thing is that many of us have our own will. Man has his own will. The devil has his own will. And God has his own will. So which will dominate? So most of what happens is that our will has been so subjugated that it doesn't have the energy and the strength to go with the will of God. So the man is carnal, is driven by his passions. Whatever you want, even though the word of God is there, it overrides the word of God. Now that is the natural man that is born into the world. He's born in darkness. He only knows to feed his drive. And now we live in a world, they say Nike, is it not so? Just do it. Anything that you like, you do what? You do it. The more of these carnal things you watch, the more of these passions you inflame. You incite your emotions. You incite your passions. A young man wants to marry a sister. He comes to fellowship. He's looking from one sister to the other. Say, God, is it this one? It's not this one. Is it this one? Don't bother me. Is it this one? It's not that one. Is it this one? What is he doing? You are inciting yourself. Before long, you will hear thoughts, says the Lord. Is it sister so and so? Is that not what's happening? Oh, if you don't want to answer me. That is what is happening. Instead of the man hearing the voice of God, he's hearing the voice of his what? Emotion. He's looking at the sister that is fine. The Bible says, favor is beauty is what? But the woman that feareth the Lord. Where do you find such women? You find them cleaning the outside of the church. Hallelujah. The man met her watering the camels. Hallelujah. And God said, that's the one. Hallelujah. We are talking of where the battle is won and lost is within. And the Bible says that the soul of man functions at three levels. So can we go to Revelation 13? Revelation 13. Okay, I think I'm going to be ending by 5. So we can take a break and the robot can come. I'll give myself 5 o'clock. Is that okay? Okay, good. But if by reason of use. But we'll go for 5. Amen. Now, Revelation 13, 14, 15. It is the same trend. In fact, it goes up to 17 and 18. And by that, it's just the same trend. Now, it's discussing the nature of the soul, the things happening in your soul and in my soul. Now, it says, Revelation 13 says that there was a beast that came from the sea. And then, in about verse 13, 11, it says, there was another beast that came from the earth. And then, if you go to Revelation 14, it says that there was a lamb seen on Mount Zion. Okay? It talks about those who dwell in heaven. So, there are three levels the scripture tells us at which the soul of any individual can operate in. There are three levels. The first one is the level of the sea. And it says that there is a spirit that rules over the sea. What is the name of that spirit? It's the beast. Because see, there's a spirit, say the beast rules out of the sea and has dominion over the realms of the sea. Now the question is, what does the sea mean? If you go to Revelation 17, it says there was a woman that was sitting over many waters. And he said that the waters that you see are nations and peoples and tribes and so on. So, in spiritual language, water speaks of people. How many people have seen something called Europa? You know about Europa? How can you live in England and don't know Europa? Okay, the man knows. Europa is always seen sometimes on waters, you know so. And it is the ancient god of Europe. Okay, and it's the spirit that rules and dominates. That's by the signs. However, the scripture tells us that the sea means nations and peoples. Now, the Bible says that there is a spirit that rules over that. And the scripture says, can you go to the house of a strong man and you take the things that belong to the strong man without first binding the strong man? Is it possible? So what does this do? Say you must first of all bind the strong man, then you can release. So it means that there is a dominion, there is an authority that this spirit has. So when a man is born into the world, you are born under the dominion of this ruling spirit that's called the beast. The beast is a spirit that manifests in a people and it becomes a nature. And because it manifests in many people, it becomes a kingdom. So you have a spirit, you have a nature, and you have a kingdom. And that beast rules. Now let's read it. Verse 2 says, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, had the feet of a bear, and had the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, we know who the dragon is in Revelation 12. Says the dragon is that great serpent, the devil. So that's specific. So this is a spirit that is empowered by the devil. And if you go to Ephesians 6, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against prince palaces, princes that rule over palaces, different regions of the world, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world. The Greek says cosmokratos, that means the spirits that rule the darkness in the souls of men. When you see a trend in London against Africa, who is responsible? There are spirits that ensure that the darkness spreads. And it rules over the realms of the earth. So, the Bible says, thou will not leave my soul in hell, or suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. That is, that is the resurrection of Christ. So, the resurrection is that the soul of man is taken out of the kingdom of the devil into the kingdom. Isn't that Colossians what he says? That you have translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. But you see, so you have the kingdom of the sea, souls who are not born again. So outside the tabernacle is darkness. So everything that you see outside, you call it wilderness, I call it darkness. Everything you see in the world is darkness. They don't know God. God calls it Sodom. It's a place where your Lord was crucified, and they will never like you. If they kill the master, what would they do to the servants? He said, no, they will love the servants. He that will be a friend of the world can never be a friend of God. You want to be a son of God? Choose. Would you rather please men or please God? You want to please God? Hear what he says. He that will be a friend of God must hate the world. See, you must take up my cross and what? Follow. You take the cross to die on it. Paul said, I am crucified to the world, and the world to me. The church does not have power because we have departed from the basic foundation of power. The preaching of the cross is the power. Paul said, I did not come with men's intellect. I come with the preaching of the cross. Paul said, I die daily. I'm not telling you to do what I'm not doing. I die daily. So you too must die daily. Jesus took his own cross and he went and he died on the cross. If Jesus died on the cross, who gave us the impression that he's a holy, holy, jolly, jolly? Brethren, there is a dying to do. There is a dying to do. And if we do not die, we cannot rise. He said, a grain of food of wheat must what? Fall into the ground and die. If he dies, he brings forth more strength. We are weak because we are making compromise. We do not want to die. We do not want to, like the brother said, Lot was negotiating. Let me go to the mountain, to the plain. Can't you reduce it? And the time, we are running out of time because the darkness is increasing. And God is raising a people. There are people who are laying down their lives and are going on. So never you think that everybody is like me. There are people who are overcoming. Last Sunday, some people stood up in church. He said, well, we came to visit you and that we have come out from the churches. I said, where are you living? They said, we live behind your house. Behind my house? They are meeting behind my house and I'm not aware. There are people in this London, you don't know them. They have come out and they are overcoming. You don't know them and you will never know them. So when you come here, don't think you are the only one. There are 7,000 who have now bowed their knees to bow. It was a root shock. I said, brethren, are you seeing this? There are people who overcome me. If I make my choice that I'm going to lower the standard of God can never lower. The standard is darkness. I must overcome this beast. Look, if my emotion is not feeding on the light of God, forget it. My emotion must overcome and begin to feed on God. Now, if you go to 2 Corinthians, sorry, 1 Corinthians 15, it says, as we have borne the image of the first Adam, we must also bear the image of the Lord from heaven. Who is the Lord from heaven? It's you. The image of Christ. Christ was a man, he lived on earth, but he was the Son of God. And we are living in a time when the sons of God must be made manifest. There is a destruction coming upon the world, and God is activating the sons of God. In Egypt, God had to bring the sons at midnight. Midnight means somebody comes into this place and starts shooting. It means he has broken the barrier. Because naturally, nobody will do that. But so when you see men do that, you know that darkness is creeping in. And it also means that the sons of God are also being released. Because the sons of God that will stop that at midnight. Hallelujah. So we are looking at this this picture, and we are saying that there are three levels. I'm going to end with that. There are three levels. And I want you to make it practical. Because for me, I practiced it, it helped me, and that's why I'm sharing that. I'm not telling you what I have not practiced. There are three things. God told me, the people that dwell, the souls that dwell on the earth, you know what they feed on? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That is the sources of energy. Check your life. What gives you energy? What is it that drives you? What do you live for? You are working. The money you get, what do you use it for? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That is the gate into hell. And that is what is feeding, that is the energy that is feeding the soul. Now, he said there was another beast that came from the earth. The earth means carnality. It's the realm of religion. Now, this beast, he said it looked like a lamb. Is it not so? It had two horns like a lamb. But when he began to speak, he spoke like what? A dragon. Of course, he had the nature of the first beast. He said it caused all to worship the first beast. You know what? This is a religious man. The soul has been brought out of the realms of the sea. But he hasn't gotten to heaven yet. He's still crawling on the earth. Hallelujah. You see, Peter had a problem. And Jesus came to him. Well, God showed him. He showed him a vision. He said there was a sheet that was let down. And in that sheet, he saw creeping things. He saw four-footed beasts. He saw the best of the air. And he saw something. There were four dimensions of nature. And God told him, what I have cleansed, do not call unclean. So what was God saying? God was telling him that the nature of man can be likened to those four different forms of creatures. There are some of us, and it's represented by the emotion. He says it's like, it's creeping. The emotions are the lowest part of man. You bring it to a fellowship. When you start having gossip, this one greeted me, he didn't greet me. This one visited me, he didn't visit me. You know what's happening? It's emotions. You're an emotional church. You visit me, I visit you. You don't visit me, I don't visit you. It means that it is just at the lowest dimension. A marriage can be at that level. You know so? The marriage relationship can just be at the emotional level. And God is waiting for you up there, but you are just crawling on the ground. Not to talk of me as an individual. I can be an emotion-dominated person. You don't greet me very well, I get offended. Do you know that if your emotions are dwelling in the heavens, if you set your affections on the things above, you will never be offended. Whatever they say of you, your emotion is not at that level, is it? Amen. Say amen now. Amen. I say amen very well. You can decide. Where is your emotion? Is it? Or is it? Where is your mind? Is it? So there are three levels. Now, most of the things we see, Olympics, Vuvio, internet, at what level are they? At what level are Facebook, Skype, Twitter, all the other ones? To go. That's the one nobody in this room must belong to go. They know, my people, they know. To go. Get out of it. What are all those things? Lust of the eyes. Lust of the flesh. Pride of life. What is he feeding? The soul of man, your soul can only be fed by two sources. By the Spirit of God or by the flesh. The devil will give you energy from your flesh. God will never speak to your flesh. God will only speak to your mind. You see, and the Lord said thoughts to Moses. God always speaks to the mind. But the devil speaks to the emotion. And that is why those of us who are involved in worship will have to be very, very careful. There is the emotional one. And most of the contemporary worship, some of them are good though, but majority are soulish. And it doesn't add, it makes your soul feel good, but it doesn't bring the life of God. My soul needs the life of God. I need the energy of God to cause me to rise. Amen. I worship, the purpose of worship, so that my mind, my heart can open up, so that God can pour himself in. He said there is a river that makes glad the city of God. It is only the Spirit of God that controls it. So we must encourage the ministry of the Spirit. If I minister to you in my flesh, it's of no use. I'll probably just tell you the different revelations I have. But if I'm ministering by the Spirit, then the Spirit of God will touch your spirit. And you will be quickened. He said, we will be building up ourselves in our most holy faith. In the Holy Ghost. Amen. What I'm saying, brethren, is that your soul functions at three levels in the heavens. It says, those who are in heaven, say, rejoice, O ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Where do you dwell? Do you dwell in the heavens? It says, he that is carnal, minds carnal things. So let's end with that one. Romans 8. Let's just read it and I'll close. Romans 8. Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. We have defined it. Olympics, Hollywood, movies, Facebook. But after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of... There's a law. It's the day that our Christ has crucified the flesh. You want to crucify your flesh, Christ will do that for you. Have made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Who was not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are ruled by the flesh, they do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are ruled by the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And that's the point I want to make. The sons of God are those whose emotions are ruled by the Spirit of God. If your mind is ruled by the Spirit, your desires are ruled by the Spirit, then you are a son of God. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is hostile or enmity against God. So it is not subject to the law of God. Neither, when I say neither, it means that it doesn't have the ability. There is no strength to resist. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of him. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is receiving life, enjoying life, because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken our mortality by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, bring to death, mortify. Let me discuss that. You see, mortify, crucify, you don't crucify a man, he dies instantly. When you crucify, it is a slow death. Many of us want an instant death of the flesh. It don't happen. Every day you crucify the flesh. When you go home today, say, this program, I'm not going to watch you today. That's how you crucify the flesh. Tomorrow again, you wake up and say, this flesh, this one is going. Every day you must do something that you have not been doing before. If you come to this conference and you go back and continue like before, it means nothing has changed. Identify today something you must stop. He said, this one, God, this one must stop. You gain one step. He said, he that overcometh, to him will be given the crown of righteousness. When you overcome, you receive more life to overcome. But if you think that just that one prayer, everything will go, no way. It is slow death. You crucify. Paul said, I die daily. Okay? So say, mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit of God is what is going to make you a son. Hallelujah. And the Spirit is said, bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and then joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, then we are going to be glorified together. I don't know if you understand what it means to be a joint heir. There's no English or French, any language on earth that can describe to you what it means to be a joint heir with Christ. I can only tell you this. One brother wrote a letter and said that the earth is part of a galaxy. And there are over 500 billion galaxies. Is that correct? Is that correct? This earth is part of a galaxy. And there are over 500, do you know what's a billion? 9 zeros. You multiply by 500. Your galaxy is just one. How many planets do you have in our galaxy, brother? And God says, you are going to be a joint heir with Christ. If there's no way a mortal man can appreciate what you mean by Christ in you. Do you know what it means for God to say you? You are my dwelling place. Say, I have chosen Zion as my dwelling place forever. Yes. Hallelujah. And that's what God is offering you and I, free of charge. Hallelujah. And we are called to be what? Joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. I pray that God will begin to open the veil. So that we can see our, say that when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I behaved like a child. But brethren, we are coming to maturity. Paul said, I wish that we must go, lay aside the past. Let's go on to maturity. God is calling us to a place of maturity. When we see the way we should be seen, the veils are going away. The picture is becoming clearer and clearer and clearer. If somebody says he doesn't know where I'm going, I think I know where I'm going to. I haven't seen everything, but I have a little bit of idea where I'm going to. I want to be a son. And being a son means it's going to cost me something. God is saying, what are you putting on the table? Me, I put my son on the table. I've offered my son for you. What are you putting on the table? To come into the outer court is free of charge. It's a gate, it's open. So if you come by into the holy place, it's by birth. If you are the son of Aaron, you enter. But to go from the holy place into the holiest of all, nobody can negotiate that. It's by death. Something must drop. And the time has come, brethren, for us to put aside this childish church thing. We need to be spiritual. What I mean, spirit. Spirits are dwelling in me. I must become spiritual to cast them out. So if when I cast them out, that the house becomes empty, then the king can come in to dwell. God is upon our eyes and to dwell in iniquity. And there's a lot of worldliness in the church. And most of part of it is our dressing, our talking, our choices, the way we spend our spare time, the things we do with our money. There's so much carnality. And God is saying, if you realize you're a priest, then you know that there are certain things the priest cannot do. He cannot come near a dead body. If his father dies, forget it. He's not going. His mother is dead. Well, sorry, man is sold to God. He cannot define himself because of the dead body. That is the consecration we have. And the whole world is filled with what? Defilement. God said, come out from among them and be ye separate. Then I will touch you. He said, what communion has the temple of God with the temple of idols? Has light with darkness? Has Belial with Christ? Look at the comparison. With light, there is no middle way. The end time church has created a middle way called light and darkness, and it doesn't exist. And I'm talking about myself. I want it little, you know, quiet, you know, little of the world. And I'm telling myself, I say, look, all that is in the world that I like, there are certain things I like. I'm saying, I have had enough. It is now time to go to God. God says, give me your eyes. What is it that is in the world that we love so much? Just bring one. Say, God, this one, I like it. I give it to you as an offering. Now, when you are bringing something to God as an offering, you have to be honest to God. Say, God, I don't want to give it to you. But because you want it, give it the strength to give it to you.
Amen.
That is the prayer of David. Every day, say, God, strengthen me to release it to you. And before long, you forgot about it. There was a time I could not do without CNN. Now, I don't even know whether there is anything called CNN. I'm telling you, God just took it away. And I'm praying He will do it for many other things. So I think I'm going to stop at this point. Just to encourage us, brethren, we need to press on. We need to set our affections, our emotions, our desires, our will on a higher dimension. We need to take it up. And when we are there, God will fill our life with joy. He said, at thy right time are pleasures forever. There is a pleasure in God. There is a sweetness in God. If God created apple, and apple is so sweet, then this God must be sweeter than apple. Don't you understand? There are so many other things in life God created. God must be sweeter than those things. God, show me the sweetness in you. Hallelujah. And your prayer can be said, God, change my appetite. God, change my appetite. Let me begin to desire spiritual things. Let me desire you, O Lord. And God will do it. We claim money to buy cars. Let us claim appetite. The appetite for God. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Could you just write very briefly, I promise you, briefly. I know the words may come across as hard and rather demanding, but let's proceed on the understanding, first of all, that that God has so loved us, so bestowed His love upon us, that we can be called His sons. Now, if you proceed from that angle, from that basis, then everything else will fall into place. And all He's saying is, as Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He is eager. He so much desires to bring us to the place He would want us to be. But the question is, to whom would we yield? Our soul is in the middle. There is a war being waged in that realm. And believe me, God has given us every power, every authority to overcome. The only power the enemy has is what we allow him to have, what we yield. Romans 6 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey?" You only become a servant of the enemy if you yield yourself first. He has no power to compel you. He has no power to compel me. If we come on this basis, then what seems impossible actually becomes so possible. It is rather the lie of the devil that tries to persuade us that this is so hard. Who can attain it? That's a lie. If God did not spare His only Son, then I'll give Him up for us. How can He not, by Him, through Him, freely give us all things? So what I just want us to do is this. It's not for me to pray. I wanted to, but I can't. I don't have that liberty to do it. What I feel we should do is individually, every person, every man, every woman, every young person, between you and God, right now, having heard what you've heard, let us examine ourselves. In what ways are we fitting? Are we fitting the forces of darkness? In what way are we energizing them? In what way are we giving them strength? I'm sure every person here can identify at least one or two. The Spirit of God will not strive with man indefinitely. That word has come forth. God will not strive with us. If there is time, if it's said there is time no more, let's take that seriously. I have identified some, and I believe everybody here can identify one or two things. Is it television? Is it your phone? Is it the phone that is on connected to the internet 24/7? You can check your Facebook updates instantly. Is it on Twitter? You're following X, Y, and Z. There are constant updates, endless updates, and we feel compelled to check, to have a look. What are we willing to give up? And if we propose to do so individually, let's make a pact, let's make a promise, let's make a contract, as it were, with God. Say, "Father, in the light of the word you brought forth, bearing in mind that your overwhelming desire is that I might come forth as a son, then I lay this on the table. I lay this on the table." I give it up. Take it away. This is a practical thing. It's so easy for us to hear this, go back, and the moment we leave the door, it's forgotten. This is, let's be practical about it. These are practical things. These are ways. We've heard it 1,000 times. Let us lay aside every, not some, every weight is something that drags you down. It ties it to the earth. You cannot rise. If you are moving in an upward direction, weight do nothing but pull you down. They keep you down. Even if you manage to ascend, you don't do so at the pace God desires. Bearing in mind, He will not strive with us indefinitely. It means there is a time allowed. If I'm only able to attain half of what I'm expected to attain because of the weight I've carried, I can talk about the throne, I can sing about the throne. But it is how much I'm able to attain here that determines my place for eternity. That is the purpose of being here. There are things to give up starting today, and that's what I want us to do. That's the specific commitment I want us to make in faith. The devil, perhaps your mind, the spirits that have been being fed through those things for so long, perhaps they're saying now, oh no, forget it, it's impossible. How can I live without this? How can you survive in this day and age without this? What are those in the face of the promise of life? What are those? How do they compare?
Everyone as he or she has proposed in his or her heart, in the name of Jesus. Let it be for everyone as they have purposed in their heart. I am persuaded that this word that has come forth will not return to you void.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Even if it's only one person that lays hold upon it, it will not return to you void.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It shall accomplish that purpose for which it has come forth. He has spoken to us in love. For it is those you love. It is those who will be sons that you chasten as sons. And we receive this word in that spirit, in the name of Jesus.